Today the scriptures talk about giving thanks to the Lord. We just heard in the gospel about the 10 lepers that were healed by Jesus. Only one, a foreigner, returns to Jesus and gives thanks. He was a Samaritan. Now the Samaritans and the Jews don't really get along. Jesus often uses Samaritans as a foil in his parables. I believe he is challenging their understanding of God by invoking their passions against the Samaritans. And then he flips their understanding of the listener. Instead of being the villain in the story, they become the hero of the story. And we've heard this several times in his parables. There's a woman at the well where Jesus goes, and the Samaritan woman shows up at noon to draw water. And Jesus tells her about the living water. And she wants that water. And Jesus tells her about her whole life, and, you know, she wasn't a well-thought-of woman, even in this Samaritan village. But she listens to Jesus, her heart is converted. She drops everything she's doing and she returns to the village and brings everybody back to meet Jesus for their own. Then another story we often hear is the Good Samaritan, where the robbers beat this person and leaves him for half dead at the side of the road. Well, the good people, the Jews, the priest, they walk by him. They don't want to touch him. If they touch him, they become ritually unclean. But a Samaritan comes by, sees the man, takes care of him, anoints him, and takes him to an inn to be cared for. Again, the Samaritan is supposed to be the bad guy in the story. And then we hear the story today about the 10 lepers. But the only one that returns is the Samaritan. Jesus says, the foreigner. And he goes to the feet of Jesus and gives thanks for his healing. Now, this really seems to upset Jesus that only the foreigner returns. He says, where's the other nine? Weren't they healed also? So it begs the question to me, why did the other nine not return to give thanks to Jesus? Did they not care? Were they too self-centered to give thanks? Was it all about them? Not about the power of God in their lives? Did they cure themselves? Are they blind to God's work in the world and God's work within them? I suspect that their focus just wasn't on God. That God was not in their hearts to begin with. You know, we all need to be reconciled to God. To have a disposition to his work in the world and his work within us. For me, that took years before I was disposed to God's work in my life. And the biggest prize of my life was my conversion to the Catholic faith and the first time I got to receive Eucharist. Now, Eucharist comes from the Greek word Eucharistia, which means thanksgiving. And when we all receive the body and blood of Christ, what do we say to the minister that's handing us the body of Christ or the blood of Christ? We say, Amen, which is saying, I believe. Now, when I say Amen, I'm saying that I believe, Jesus, you are present in this Eucharist, body and blood. I also believe that, Jesus, you are present in my heart, that you love me, and that you give me pardon and peace. And this is not on me, but all glory and honor belongs to God. That's what Eucharist means to me. And every time I receive Eucharist, it's like that first Eucharist I received at Easter Vigil 30 years ago. It's just this wonderful prize that I get to experience in our Catholic faith. It's still the biggest prize I've ever gotten, and for that, I am truly grateful. I want to go to the first reading from 2 Kings, where Naaman is cleansed of his leprosy. Now, we know leprosy today is Hansen's disease, and I think for the most part it's curable. But back then, it was not. And the lepers were ostracized. They were put on the edges of society. They were separated from everybody. They were considered unclean because of their disease, which they had nothing to do with. Now, when Naaman gets cleansed of his leprosy, he returns to Elisha, the man of God, and wants to give thanks. But he refuses. So then he makes this request. Well, give me two mule loads of soil so I can take it with me. Which is curious. But what he was asking, he was asking for that soil to take it back to his homeland. And he was sure that God was present in a particular area, in this place, Israel. So he wanted to take soil back to have his own little holy spot to give thanks to God. Now I see our sacred spot or our holy land or our sacred space as what we hold in our hearts. Hopefully that's Jesus and the love of God, which is renewed in us every week through the Eucharist. Now, in the second letter of St. Paul to Timothy, Paul is writing this letter from prison. And he is in prison because he would not stop preaching the good news of Jesus. He would not stop preaching that Jesus was resurrected from the dead. Now, why this is really important is that when the Romans executed Jesus, they thought he was dead and gone. That would be the end of it. That would end his ministry in the world. But it didn't. Because God resurrected Jesus. He brought him back from the dead. It didn't work. So Paul's mentoring Timothy on this gospel. I like this saying in there. It says, this saying is trustworthy. If we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we persevere, we shall reign with him. But if we deny him, he will deny us. If we're unfaithful, Jesus will remain faithful, for he cannot deny himself. And what Paul is saying, I think, is Jesus is always in our corner. He's always with us. He's always rooting for us. And we are the ones that tend to abandon him at times.